It's funky night tonight. It's funky night tonight. Give us a candle, give us a light. It's funky night tonight.
He just wet his pants.
So started with the laugh. Actually, that's funny.
He just wet his pants.
And hello again, Internet. We are back with the October Games podcast number 2. And actually, we have a very, very special surprise for everybody tonight. We actually have the founder of October Games, the godfather, James. And actually, if you guys want to introduce yourself.
How's it going? Yeah, this is James Tregesser here. I'll start with a little backstory on how this got started. Back in the day, I guess I'm kind of old. Back in the 90s, I remember when you were a kid, it was like you were restricted to, you know, basically where you could get on a bike. So there was a tape store that was near my house. So it was like, you know, I'd go there, rent movies, usually scary movies, and video games. So it's just like around that. And it always seemed to be like all the cool ones were coming out during October. So it was like, oh, wow. So that just like, I guess that part just like kind of stuck in my head of like that whole feeling of when October came, games would come out and horror movies would come out. It'd be like, you know, it was an awesome combination. So then, down the road, I was thinking, you know, I became interested in 3D and I started, you know, making models, usually horror related, you know, that were like just personal creations. And I was like, okay, well, I wanted a place on the internet to put them. So I came up with the idea of grabbing the domain name of October Games. And, you know, at first it was taken, you know, I had to wait like a couple of years. Actually, I kept checking on it to see if the people were ever going to do anything. It looked like they actually were going to try to start a gaming company, but then it never happened. And then it became available again, but I had to pay like more than normal. It was like $300. So I guess like some speculator grabbed it. So then I finally got it, started it up, and I just threw like my personal work on there. And then I always thought it would be a great idea to have the Puppet Master characters in a video game, you know, whether it be a mod or an actual game by itself. So I started creating models of the Puppet Master characters. And while I was doing this, I came across someone else was doing the same thing. And his name was Drake. So then I'm like, dude, let's get together and let's see if we could like help each other out. And I mean, the rest is history. He took the ball, ran with it, like
sprinted,
and then some. Yeah, he went nuts.
I tripped a couple times.
Here we are today.
Hey, yeah, I'm also on the podcast. Drake, lead designer of Horror Legends, and I guess co-designer of Puppet Master.
Can you guys talk about how that moment actually happened, where you guys met? And that back and forth, and how did that kick off and get things off the ground?
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember it. I was up in Pittsburgh at the time. It was on, it was on MODDB, I remember. And I was like, I saw that, you know, there was a little project that was going. I forget how that was set up. I don't think, Drake, it wasn't a game. Like, you just had, like, some stuff up there of, like, Blade maybe running through. Very primitive. Very, you know, looked nowhere near as good as the way it looks now. But it was like you had some of the characters done, and you had, like, you know, you could run around a little bit.
It's funny. It's funny you brought that up, because I totally forgot that my original concept, it was called Puppet Master the Fan Game. And I was just, like, doing it on my spare time because I needed, I was doing it as, like, demo reel work, you know. The reason why I started doing Puppet Master is because I remember hearing at college once that you want to have something that you haven't seen before. Like, you know, everyone makes space marines, and everyone puts, like, sci-fi hallways. Basically, they just recreate aliens in their demo reel. And I wanted to do something that not many people have done, so I did a Google search for Puppet Master, 3D Puppet. I mean, I was a huge fan of Puppet Master when I was a kid. And I was like, oh man, yeah, I should do Puppet Master characters. And I really admired the designs that David Allen did especially the sculpts on the heads and stuff. And I was like, that would be a really good challenge for me as an artist to recreate those in 3D. So I did, like, I dabbled in that like a long time ago, like in like 2007. I made this really, really crappy Blade head, but I remade it, and I just spent hours looking at Blade photos, trying to. I focused on one movie because his head changes from every movie.
Yeah, that's true.
And James
like
and I kind of joke
like
about
the Michael Myers mask.
Yeah, I mean, like James and I kind of joke about this every once in a while. Is that we know way too much about these freaking puppets designs, because when you're trying to recreate them, you're looking at like like each film was a different sculpt almost, and you can almost tell, like, I mean, I shouldn't be able to tell this, but I can almost tell which, if you told me a picture of Blade, I'm like, oh, that's from Puppet Master 2, because his eyes are a little darker than the other Puppet Master 1, and in Puppet Master 5, his head's really clean, and it's like, I know way too much, because I spent hours looking at photos, recreating his head in Maya, and I just, you know, I just put that shit up there, and I was just doing it, yeah, I was trying to get some unique stuff to create for my demo reel, and I just threw it up on there, and I was working in Unity, actually I was working with Roberto, we had a job, we were working on a job together, and I knew I was doing a lot of Unity work, and I was like, I'll just put this stuff in Unity and throw it on some game stuff, and maybe just make like a little exploration game where you play as Blade, since I knew I couldn't program, I was like, well, I can just get like a, you know, FPS controller, and just make an environment, make it all Puppet Master themed, and it's funny because the interactive demo kind of became that, like an elaborate version of that.
Yeah.
So, the Puppet Master fan game actually kind of happened. but now it's kind of an official teaser trailer.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. One of the things about making those heads is they're so different, you know, in each movie. I mean, I read in that too, and it's like, you look at it, and you're trying to get a good understanding of what you're trying to model, and look at it at different angles, and it's like, you're looking at one head... One angle and a different head, the other one, and it's like, you know, it definitely does get confusing. So those are not easy to model.
No, they're not. No, I remember you're having a hard time with Tunneler.
Oh God, yeah, that kicked my ass. I was like, because it was like I didn't know which version of the head I wanted to go with, you know. And it was like, okay, squinty eyes, opened eyes. Do I make it so they can, you know, they can move? It was like, you know, I just didn't know. So yeah, that was one of the harder ones.
Yeah, I mean. Every puppet, I think, went through the, like, redesigns in every movie, or like, I don't know, they like, I think that Full Moon, I read that like they got rid of a puppet every movie, that like they sold the puppets to people. You could like in the 90s, you could just call them up like, oh, I really like that Blade doll, can you send it to me? My girlfriend really likes it. They're like, yeah, sure, I have $500, and you just send them a Blade doll.
Yeah,
you know.
It's funny you say that, because I got a hold of some of the molds, and I was able to actually use those as references. I mean, there really weren't... I'm trying to think of what, like, because, you know, the actual replicas weren't really good. I got a hold of those, some of those, to help me, just, but it was just like, you know, it's never looked as good as the actual ones in the movie, so it was like, you know, that's definitely one of the toughest things, because they move a lot of stuff. They'll sell anything, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, You actually did like a scan of Jester's head and sent it to me, and that's how I made Jester's head in the demo. You got me like this really basic scan, and I just modeled around it and retopologized it and used that to kind of like make sure my dimensions are right and everything.
That was good to get that. That was, yeah, because that's one of the heads that actually was available. I guess you can get online where they have, you know, somewhere out there, somebody has the actual originals and has made copies of the actual David Allen sculpts. And, like, you know, obviously if you get those, then you've got the best reference possible. But, I wish I had that for some of the other ones, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a hard time finding a proper six-shooter head.
Right, I know. That's I've been working on him. You know, I've got a pretty... got him down, you know, pretty good. I'm probably, you know, I'd like to say, what, 50% done? Drake, I don't know if I've shown you...
Not recently. I mean, I know you had, like, the head created based on the replica, and I was like, I don't know if you're going
to... Yeah,
that's
not happening. Yeah, the head, I changed a little bit. I mean, I got the head and the body. I think his hands and the guns and all that kind of stuff. It's just a loose ZBrush sculpt, so, you know, we'll see if I ever get, you know, if I'm ever able to finish that, because I've got, what is it, the character for Horror Legends, I'm trying to finish up, you know, so get him implemented.
Yeah, we should talk about what we're working on right now, actually. So you're working on one of the cast members for Horror Legends, right?
Yeah, I'm working on Stevie Lint, another punk character with a backpack, and he's got spiky hair. I'm just trying to, make him look consistent with the rest of the characters, and... you know, just make it look unique.
Yeah, I don't know if this comes through what we've kind of put out to the game so far, but right now, each cast member is kind of based off different punk designs and stuff. So you have a group of like three punks entering this farmhouse, like kind of like a sanctioned off farmhouse, and yeah, we're kind of ripping off of Night of the Demons and Return of the Living Dead type concept, and I think that really comes through. And we should definitely get like a screenshot of Stevie Lynn out there soon, because I really like what you showed me so far.
Yeah, I'm getting close with him. I'm just trying to make those make his normal maps and specular maps, and make sure he doesn't have any seams and all that good stuff.
I got I just finished up the only girl in the group so far, Angela Crass. All their last names are something like some I guess you can call it like punkish or something, but yeah, you have Stevie Lynch, Nick Scab, and Angela Crass are like the three punks that we're gonna have in it. And I don't know if I showed you the finished version of Angela Crass yet. I added a couple, like I gave her like a dirt pass, kind of like what I have for Stevie Lynch, and I got like her punk wristbands done to a point as well.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I gotta work on that with my character, because his hands are gonna be shown so up close.
Yeah, same here. But yeah, definitely want to figure out the rest of make sure that Nick Scab is perfect, because basically I'm just gonna replace the model, and I want the guns to be identical, work identical amongst all the characters. And right now they're kind of like, everything's based off Nick Scab, then I'll have to like copy it. And once, if I have to change the guns after I make the three characters, then like I have to go through all of them and change them and make sure everyone's synced. So like one person's revolver doesn't shoot faster than the last person's revolver or something like that. I wish it was kind of unified, but you have to kind of fake it, or yeah, it's a little more complicated than that. Kind of messy. I wish it wasn't like that though.
Yeah, the new build looks really cool. I mean, I was able to see that for the first time. Looks like a lot of headway has been made.
Yeah, we're trying to get a prototype done to a point so we can show it around and see if we can get investor or something to help us fund the game, because right now it's getting to the point where we need to hire someone full time to work on this game. It's just kind of it's becoming way too big to work on our spare time, and people's time is valuable. You don't want to just
Bro, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. It's like, to put a bunch of time in, and it's almost like a job. I mean, the amount of time, how many hours do you think you put into like Hollow Legends? I mean, it's probably hundreds. I mean,
yeah, it's insane. I mean, started working on it in February. To be honest, I mean, I think I mentioned this the last podcast, but a lot of the ideas that we talked about for Puppet Master were ideas I had for Horror Legends that I just brought over to it, because it kind of translated well.
Right.
Like the asymmetrical combat, and it's kind of inverse that you have three puppets against one human roaming the hotel, because, I think it's better with there's multiple puppets because you want them to work as a team. But in Horror Legends, it's the inverse of that, where you have three or four cast members versus one slasher. It's a more classic scenario where you have one monster.
Now that you guys mentioned the progress on Horror Legends, do you guys want to give a quick update of as of right now where it stands on Steam Greenlight, and what are the next steps towards releasing Horror Legends?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're at like 44%. I don't know if we're supposed to say it and let people know, but I don't really care. Like, we're at 44%, and I don't think we're going to be able to release on Halloween. It's really not up to us. I mean, a lot of the feedback we've gotten is very positive. Like, every negative comment, we get at least like 20 positive comments. So I'm kind of, it makes me feel good, and I have a lot of faith in this game. We got to find someone to help us finish it. There's a couple different ways we can do that, but without having the game to a certain point, we're kind of limited on those options. I was thinking of running an Indiegogo campaign. I don't know if you guys want to chime in on that. How do you feel like about the Indiegogo campaign? Do you think that's a good idea, or do you kind of like the other method of just like making a basic release and then using that to? Because I was talking the last podcast about a reactive development schedule where we make a product and we release it, and then based on those sales, we can update it and keep adding to it until the sales don't really. You can tell that the interest dwindles and move on to something else. But instead of doing like DLC or something like that, maybe like doing a more traditional way with Indiegogo.
What is Indiegogo?
Yeah.
It's like Kickstarter, but it's a little bit more lenient. It allows you to keep the funds if you don't reach your goal.
Okay.
I'm sure there's some other things that are different about it too. I think if you don't reach your goal, I think Indiegogo takes a bigger chunk. But, you know, if we can just get enough money for someone to work on it full time for, like, a couple months, that would be much better than, you know, than what we're doing now.
Well, I mean, that sounds cool. I'm going to probably look at and see what it's all about right now. I mean, I'm not really savvy as far as, like, Kickstarter and Indiegogo and how, like, all the systems are, you know, set up to where you get the funding and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, I'd have to look into it.
Also, also Indiegogo allows you to get your funds faster, too. Like, Kickstarter takes, like, a month of processing and whatnot.
Kickstarter seems like it's really becoming, like overflowed, because like, people hear a story of someone over at Kickstarter getting a bunch of money, and then everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's where I'm going to do it. You know what I mean?
That's why I kind of shied away from it at first, because I feel like it's oversaturated, and I feel like, I mean, Steam Greenlight, I feel like it's oversaturated, too, but... You know, I gotta try, you know.
Right.
I feel like Indiegogo might be better just because we can get some money, and I think I can work with whatever I can get. It'd be nice to set a goal that would be what would take to make a decent effort on it. Like a really, like, I'm not exactly sure. I shouldn't say the like what we want to do yet because we haven't really talked about it yet, but having it, I'm having a brain, my brain stopped working for a second, but... Once you start thinking about your brain not working, just you're never coming back from that.
Well,
man, what was I talking about?
I was thinking, like, you know, as far as those two places, you know, to try to get funding. I mean, obviously, that's something that is needed in order to make any real project, you know, work out. Uh-huh. Like, I'm always looking, like, you know, because I'm here in Orlando, and there's a lot of like. People, I mean, I hear, like, my ear's always to the ground, like, hearing, okay, well, who's, you know, because everybody, there's a lot of people who have their own projects, you know, that are, you know, where I work, and they're all, you know, they're all going, doing the Steam Greenlight and the Kickstarter and all that kind of stuff, but then every once in a while I hear about some project that's being funded by this random thing. It's like this guy who was involved in radial tires is now making a game, you know, it's like some, like... So, like, you know, I'm always, you know, my ear's always, you know, looking, you know, for people like that as well, just, you know, just so you guys know.
Did you know, I think Evil Dead was funded by dentists.
Like, yeah.
Sam Raimi walked up to dentists, like, I got this movie, you know, it's about, you know, demons, and it's, like, I mean, we could try just walking up to, like, random people, rich people.
I think the main thing, we got a playable demo right now, so that is definitely like, okay, here, this is what we got. So they can, you know, actually like have a hands-on, you know, experience and actually, you know, see what it is that they'd be investing in and actually get to touch it and use it and try it out. So I'm thinking that, you know, with that, I mean, it would be a powerful tool to try to get funding. I know there's other avenues to go. I'm trying to think because, I mean, I know certain people, but, you know, it's just like you hear things sometimes, the story, like you hear it one way and it really isn't like, you know, they're spending the money as a cover for some other thing. It's like, you know, it's crazy business stuff. But I mean, I'm thinking with that playable demo, though, I mean, it may be, you know, people may see it and, you know, be able to get us, you know, some funding.
Yeah, I mean, we should hit up the mention circuit. And,
right.
And that, I think that's where we can probably meet a lot of good people that might be interested in helping them.
Oh, you know what? It's funny you said that.
I went to,
you guys have heard of the game Contagion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they are actually at the Lakeland Zombie Fest that I was at yesterday.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And I think that they were able to, I mean, obviously they got their success from, what was it? Zombie Panic, which was a mod, I believe, of Half-Life. But, yeah, they obviously got funding and they had a presence at that convention. So I'm thinking, you know, that may be a way of doing things too. You know, those conventions are getting bigger and bigger. I mean, like, this was just something in, like, Lakeland, Florida. It's not like a big city or anything. And it seemed to have a lot of, you know, a lot of people there.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I mean, that's one of the big things indie games kind of struggle with is exposure. I think it's a lot of people trying to make it in entertainment right now is the exposure is a big issue. It's so overflooded, and I think since, you know, Facebook is kind of gearing towards more paid advertising instead of utilizing likes and, like, natural progression.
Right.
Yeah, because right now I think likes don't really do much good anyway.
No. The business I have with my brother, we do supplements, and we were trying to, like, oh, we got to get likes, and all this stuff. And then for some reason, Facebook, they took our site down. So, you know, it's like this big hoopla or what have you. And then I'm talking with my brother. We're like, it really doesn't matter because likes don't mean anything, because if we boost the post, same amount of people are going to see it anyway. So it doesn't matter. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely, as far as marketing is concerned with Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, that's changed a lot over the past, like, I want to say over the past year. It has changed a bunch since it, you know, I guess maybe it's since they went public. I don't know.
Yeah, I got that feeling, too. I was reading about using boosts, paying for boosts. And it really doesn't really help you at all. It would definitely, I think we should just use Facebook as a way to communicate with fans and not really try to reach new fans. I don't really think it's going to help very much.
I think that, honestly, YouTube is a, you know, a lot of people watching, you know, putting a, you know, just saying, looking for investors, contact, you know, look, you know, this number. I mean, like, people are on YouTube all the freaking time. I mean, like, at work, yeah. Like, you know, through the day. Oh, look at this cool thing, you know? I'm thinking that might work, you know, yeah. Just something. I mean, well, I mean, obviously, the, I wonder if there's a way to, like, boost a YouTube video.
Not that I could think of. I mean, I don't really have much experience with YouTube.
I heard something like, if you have so many followers, you do get some money in based on the advertisement that plays either before your video.
Yeah, but that's...
Who knows how that would work?
We're not going to really get far with that, I don't think. That's not really... it's really hard to get to that point. And we're trying to make a game, and running a YouTube channel is like its own thing.
Yeah.
I understand.
Right. Yeah, so one thing that I wanted to mention to you guys. So, for example, so Horror Legends would stay on Steam. Hopefully, you know, we do reach the whatever percentage you need, and it does get greenlit. So then, you know, you guys could correct me if I'm wrong or want to jump in. So then, if that happens and it does get greenlit, so the main platform for at least that series would be Steam. If we do get greenlit, that way we could, you know, shoot updates through there and DLC, all that. If it doesn't, then we would find other avenues to be able to get that content out to the players.
Right now, I'm thinking just Steam. I mean, we have to get... I think once we release on Steam, that's going to be easier to release on other platforms. But or not platforms, other distributor, digital distributors. But, I mean, there's, you know, like GOG, GOG.com. And mm-hmm. I think... I don't know if Origin really supports indie games very much. But I think we're fine with Steam for now. I'm not really too worried about that. Just getting released, period.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you mentioned DLC. I mean, I don't really know if DLC would be the right name for what we're trying to do.
True.
I don't want people to get thinking that we're gonna, like, you know, nickel and dime them with DLC, and that's not what I want to do. I want to do free updates and stuff, and just basically make those updates using sales of the game itself. Rather than, you know, $5 skin pack or character pack or whatever.
Yeah, I think add-on would be a better word, probably, since DLC sounds like cash.
Yeah. I just want to make that clear to people listening who might be thinking, like, oh, yeah, these guys are just going to make, you know, another store-based game. And to be honest, I hate that kind of stuff. I hate logging into a game every time I want to play, because we all have enough passwords and account information's out there, and, like, we don't need another one to play a horror game. Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, it's like, you, every time I, like, oh, I haven't played this game in a long time, and I open it up, and it's like, what was my password again? I don't remember. And it's like, it has some arcane, like, weird password set up, and it has to be, like, three letters within two of them are, you know, not three letters, but, like, six letters, and two of them have to be numbers, and one has to be a special number. Like, I don't, and, like, this, if it doesn't fit my already established, you know, badass password, then I forget it, like, instantly.
Passwords have gotten out of hand. I mean, 9 times out of 10, if something makes me want to have to sign up, I'm like, forget it. No, ain't doing it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not signing up for shit. You know, like,
yeah, yeah. I just want to make a game where people can just jump in, have fun, and leave. Is, you know, at their own, you know, convenience. You know, I don't want to make, like, this weird. I don't make this, like, advertising avenue, which usually why you have to sign up, because they want your email so they can just send you more email crap.
Well, one of the things that, you know, I was thinking about, and I was looking into was the whole Oculus Rift thing. I mean, who the hell knows if that's going to be like, you know, 3D TVs where it's like, you know, oh, this is the next thing. And then, I mean, I don't know. Do you guys own 3D TVs? I don't. Like,
No.
I mean, it was like, okay, it was cool, right? 3D, okay, now it's done. Well, I mean, I don't know if the Oculus Rift is going to be like that, but one thing is for sure, when it does get released, they're going to be wanting content, and anything that's out that takes advantage of that is probably going to get, you know, it's probably going to be sold or sought after, just, you know, especially when it first comes out.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Oculus Rift is freaking future, man. Like, that stuff. I mean, I haven't tried it yet, but I've heard crazy things about it, and I have to try it. I heard, like, the addition of depth of field is a huge thing in games. Like, having something come at you in Oculus Rift is, it triggers, like, the animal part of your brain to, like, it triggers your instinct, like, more than a game would. A game you're kind of passively playing sometimes, and you know, you're kind of in this sense of security because the screen is kind of like this safety net. But once you, if you're playing a horror game, you put that thing on, it's like you're in the shit. So, I think it's going to be huge, and I definitely want to do something with it. I gotta get my foot in the door first, because, you know, we can't really do anything with it without a, you know, proper full-time programmer.
Right.
So if you're a programmer and you're listening to this and you're interested, please contact us.
Please contact Drake. info@octobergames.com.
Or it's info@octobergames.com. Don't send it to Drake@octobergames.com because I got hit with spam and I cannot sift through that stuff. I get a lot of like Home Depot coupons in there now. I don't understand that.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, actually, the same thing happened to mine, too. I don't know what it is. Yeah, but it's like once that happens, it's next to impossible to get it, you know, to get it, to reclaim it. You almost have to abandon that.
Which sucks, because I'm afraid if, you know, Full Moon ever contact us again, I'll probably never see the email.
Right. Yeah, I'll be like, yeah, well, Charlie, we're waiting. It's like...
is there anything else? Should we move on to something else in the docket here?
Let's see. Let me check the itinerary. No, actually, that was a crazy, super solid intro there. James, he actually touched on each of the bullet points I had up here on the screen. It was like one after the other, like one, two, three.
James,
so I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
Well, after the last bullet point here, it's the last one I have on the screen is the Geek Fest. If you guys want to geek out about anything, any common interest, one thing I was thinking about is, hey, you know, it's Halloween. Halloween is coming up. Do you guys want to talk about a related interest, you know, movies, anything like that?
Well, I don't know if you guys are aware of this. The Walking Dead is going to be premiering tonight at 9:00 Eastern time. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty big news for right now, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't finished season 4 yet, and I don't know. It's kind of I kind of just watched it because it hasn't really been keeping my interest. I kind of get fatigued from that show actually because I feel like there's never going to be a proper ending to it. Like you really can't end that show in a way that's going to be satisfying. It just feels like it's going to be depressing and. I don't know how that show's going to end.
Yeah, actually, I started watching it again. I mean, you could say I have been up to date, but I catch them on Netflix. So season 4, I think a week ago or two, came online. So my wife and I, we sat and watched it, and we probably burned through that thing in about 2 days. Actually, right now we're at the last episode. We just haven't seen it because... You know, show-wise, once that's done, you know, there's nothing left to watch for us. But I actually feel it did start out pretty strong, actually. I really dig the first, what was it, six episodes? Seven? No, maybe six. I think it was six. The first six episodes, you know, it was...
You're talking about season one?
What?
Talking about season one?
No, I'm sorry, season 4.
Oh, okay.
So, because you know how 2, it got pretty weird, and that's when, you know, everybody from the writers and, you know, Frank Darabont, everybody got fired or whatnot, and then it got pretty weird and pretty lame. And then season 3 picked up a little bit, but then, you know, did have its ups and downs. I actually think 4 had, I think there's only 2 episodes that were pretty slow. Like, actually, you know, like, I want to say an abysmal drop. I don't want to give anything away for anyone who hasn't seen it. But I would say the first 6 episodes of season 4, you know, they were great. You know, there was something happening. It was pretty simple, But it was like, oh man, like I felt like nobody was safe. And then, you know, those two other episodes where it dropped, then it slowly picked up again towards the end. But did you guys actually hear the original idea for the beginning of each season of The Walking Dead?
No,
I didn't.
So do you guys remember in the first episode at the end when Rick jumps into the tank, there's a dead soldier and the soldier tries to bite him, but he shoots him?
Yeah.
So then the idea was that the first episode of each new season happens during the outbreak. So then the first episode of the second season was going to be the story of that soldier going through all this shit. And then obviously at the end, you know, he gets bitten and he crawls into the tank and dies. And then, you know, Rick would come in. But actually, I mean, I didn't know this until I saw the interview, but actually that actor that it was that soldier, he's actually in The Mist. And he's one of the lead characters in The Mist, if you guys have seen it.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of the same characters that were in The Mist. So I guess, you know, that was probably made by the same group of people or something, because they were, like, pretty much all the same characters. Was it Dale? Carol was in it. Yeah.
Yeah, that lady that leaves the store.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta watch that movie again.
I think that would have been a cool idea. I did hear now that they're actually, I think they did greenlit a spinoff, but it happens during the outbreak. So I'm not sure if you guys have heard about that.
I heard something about it's in space or something.
In space?
Yeah, I heard something. Zombies in space. And I was like, oh God, what is this like, you know? maybe I got misinformation, but that's what I heard.
Jason X?
Yeah. So I'm like, no.
Which that's definitely a add-on for Horror Legends. I want to do the in space one. You know, jump the shark update.
Right.
You got to do that. That'd be hilarious and fun at the same time.
That's actually if that does happen, that's one of my top three add-ons that I can't wait for. I know Dan talked about one of them last time was the whole like Asian horror theme.
Oh yeah,
like that would be cool. The second one, we were talking about it a little bit before we started recording. I'm not sure if I should say anything because it would be cool to keep it a surprise. But and this third one, that, you know, jumping the shark one, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that way you can take any monster to space, and it feels like the fourth, you know, sequel in a series of films or something.
Oh man, you could like cyber out Punky and put like this like 1960s sort of like fishbowl helmet on him. That'd be funny.
That'd be weird. I don't know. It wouldn't be scary at all. But I mean, I don't know how scary Pumpkin is, but
he looks pretty badass. I'm looking at the Twitter cover right here, and he looks kind of. I'm not sure if he's gonna kill me or what. He looks pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys see the making of Halloween thing we posted?
I have not seen that yet. I just got that box set. The Blu-ray box set of Halloween.
Oh, dude, I want that. Yeah, I want that so bad.
It's killer, man. I watched Season of the Witch yesterday.
The movie wasn't that bad.
It's not bad, but, man, what is it? Tom Atkins' character is just a sleazeball, man. That movie is just, he's a bastard. Like, you see in the beginning of the movie, he's got, like, you know, two kids and a wife, and then... You know, later in the movie, he just gets a six-pack of beer and then runs off with this girl, you know, he's met in a hospital. And every once in a while, he calls, you know, you see him talking to his wife. He's like, yeah, I forgot the name of the hotel I'm going to. It's a conference, you know, see ya. It's just like, I don't know if his wife really deserved that.
Well, wait a minute. I think they were divorced, and his wife was... His wife was the girl from Halloween. What was it?
Halloween 1.
What was her name? It was one of the girls that got killed in the first Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like a bunch of John Carpenter.
The one that gets trapped in the laundry room, or the one
in the car. The one that dies in the car.
Oh, okay, yeah. Then that's her, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was her. I didn't realize it was her until I saw it yesterday, actually. I've only seen that movie like once or twice before that. It's the scene where the kid dies from the television, man, that actually got me. I was like, man, that's a really crazy scene. I like it. It's like probably the peak of the movie is when that like the family gets it in that like containment room.
Yeah,
you remember that? Yeah. When they start playing that music, and that was pretty effective. I like that.
So is each disc its own movie, and then there's like a bonus disc, or how is it set up?
Well, the first one is basically that 35th anniversary that came out the year before. Mm-hmm. You know, that white covered one with Michael's face on it.
Is that the one with the TV footage in it?
I think so. Yeah, it's got two discs. You can probably look it up online and it'd be more accurate, but I think it's got the television cut as well, where they added footage from that from Halloween 2, or they did a couple extra shots while they're making Halloween 2 to put in the television version of Halloween 1 to kind of fix the continuity, because they were going to, like, you know, set up that, you know, Laurie Strode was Michael's sister. So they added that, they added, like, a scene to set that up in the first movie, and then they put it on television, so when people went to go see it, they would kind of, like, they feel like, oh, they were planning this from the beginning. Really, you know, I don't think they were. But there's a lot of cool special features on it. I was cleaning my house the other day, and I put in Resurrection, because I knew I wasn't going to watch that shit. And I couldn't finish it. That movie is just so lame.
Wait, is that... Wait, shit, I feel embarrassed. I mean, I consider myself a Halloween fan. That's the one with Busta Rhymes in it, right?
Yeah, Trick or Treat, motherfucker.
Oh, okay, yeah. Then I got it, yeah. And it's funny, that's on Netflix, and I keep telling my wife, we're going to watch it tonight. We're going to watch it tonight. Because I'm getting her into the whole, you know, Halloween season, and... You know, last year we saw Halloween, which is, you know, a great movie, but she sort of has a syndrome where, oh, it's an old movie, it sucks.
Oh, no,
it's great,
no.
It's awesome.
Wait, Resurrection?
No. Like,
it's not that old.
No. Last year we saw the original.
Oh, okay.
So then I keep making fun of her that every year we're going to watch the next Halloween in line, but on Netflix they only have that one and The Curse of Michael Myers. So I would rather watch that one than The Curse of Michael Myers.
Yeah, I guess the big sell of the box set is that they have that producer's cut, all like cleaned up in high res version of the producer's cut in the.
I heard about that. Did you see it yet?
I'm saving it for later. I mean, before the box set was announced, I was at Crypticon Seattle. And I bought that producer's cut, like a bootleg, and I watched it, and I was just like, oh, this is terrible. Like, I was thinking of making a drinking game, like every time you see, like time code in the bottom of the screen, you take a drink, that thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't, yeah, and then like, the next week, you know, they announced the box set, oh, like, you know, the HD version. I'm like, oh, man, I guess I wasted $10. I guess I wasted $10 either way.
So how much more minutes is in the film?
Oh, I don't know that offhand, but it's—I guess there's just like new scenes. The story is just kind of structured completely differently. There's like a weird subplot. They do some really sick things. With the story of Six. You could look it up. I think that they find out that Michael, like, I don't know, like he's I don't want to say it, but yeah, he had a kid with his niece.
Creepy.
Yeah, you find out Jamie character from 4 and 5, she's all grown up in 6, and then Michael basically, you know, has a kid with her in that movie, and it's like, that's fucked up. Like,
No wonder they cut that.
It's,
the Michael Myers is a kid with the niece?
Yeah, like the baby in 6 is actually supposed to be Michael's kid.
I thought it was just because it was his niece, and he wanted to kill the last remaining... that wasn't his kid, it was his kid?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, because you didn't see the producer's cut.
Oh,
they
I
cut
see.
That.
So
they cut that
changed.
Out because they're like, man, that's too much. Let's get that out of there. So, yeah.
So then that footage, is that stuff they shot afterwards to try to make it more interesting? Or did they realize, oh, shit, this is too much. Let's take it out.
I'm sure that was made beforehand and they, you know, someone got a hold of it and like, nope, we got to get rid of that. But it's called the producer's cut, so I'm not entirely sure. Maybe probably shouldn't really talk about it if I don't really know 100% about it, but especially on a podcast. But yeah, I think it was they shot it beforehand, and then they realized like that's way too sick, especially for modern audiences at the time to put that in the movie.
It completely destroys the character of Michael Myers too. Like it's like what? Like that makes no sense.
Well,
like,
yeah, I mean, that's what Six does. Six destroys the character of Michael Myers. Actually, you know, I think my least on that topic, one of my favorite horror movies of all time is the first Halloween. My least favorite is the Rob Zombie one. I really hate that Rob Zombie movie. I think that movie destroys his character more than any of the ones before it because of, you know, the whole point of his character was to be mysterious and, like, you know, that was supposed to be like where the fear came from. Like, you don't understand why this guy, what this guy's real motivations were. And no, he's just a, he's just an angry kid that got picked on, and he had a shitty family. And it's like that. Yeah, it's not that. That's not scary. It just, you know, he's trying. It was Rob Zombie trying to make Texas Chainsaw Massacre with the Halloween license. That's what I felt like.
Yeah, I mean, it had a lot of great shots. I mean, it looked great, but yeah, definitely, you know, adding, what's the word, you know, adding a motive to Michael, that kind of kills his character. The scary thing about him is that, you know, he's just like the mask, you know, even though it's going to sound funny because this was the name of the script, even though there's a shape there on the face, he's still faceless, so that's what makes him scary, that he's this like 6-7 foot husk that he's just gonna get you, and he doesn't need a reason to get you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like Drake said, oh yeah, I'm fucked up. People made fun of me. I'm gonna go kill you.
Yeah.
So
I don't really like to see, you know, horror villains as a kid. Like, how weird would it be if you saw Freddy Krueger as a kid? I think they did that in Freddy's Dead, actually.
You got Jason as a kid. You saw Jason as a kid, remember?
Yeah, but true. That's very true. You know, Jason's never really been my favorite, though. He's kind of, I don't know. He was kind of, that's a good point.
It's his whole victim story, but like, you really never got to see, all you saw him was drowning in the lake. Like, you didn't see him, like, interacting. You know what I mean?
I don't need to see Jason and his mom, like, you know,
Hanging out, having breakfast,
you know what I mean? I think that's what I'm talking about. Like, maybe a shot.
Wait a minute.
Like, Michael, having seen Michael as a kid, he's just a long-haired blonde kid, you know, who kind of looks irritated with people. And we're compared to Jason, who the only shot you see of him is, you know, a deformed kid drowning in the lake with everyone laughing at him. I think that sets him up a bit better. Although, it gives you, I don't know if you should really sympathize with the killer as much. I think it helps to have them be more monstrous. Sympathizing with the killer kind of takes away some of the terror. Makes you feel like you. I really don't like to root for the monsters. I think it's better when you're running from them. And I think Friday the 13th really set up its franchise to root for Jason. You really like when Jason kills those annoying teenagers because they make those characters kind of frustrating to watch.
Yeah, it's funny actually. Watching the last Friday the 13th that came out, the remake, I kind of felt that he did have a lot of Michael in him. Where, for example, my favorite Friday the 13th is Part 7, just because he looks cool and you can see all the damage.
Is that the one with the psychic?
Yeah, the one with the psychic. So what I like about that one is that you could actually see all this damage that he's accumulated over the years, and you know he looks badass in the remake. I kind of like that he had that, like, Michael Myers vibe where, at least to me, he was genuinely scary, like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Do you know that movie was directed by the makeup effects artist of Demonic Toys?
Oh, wow.
The remake?
No, Friday the 13th, Part 7, where he fights the psychic. The guy who directed that, he did the makeup effects, or he did the puppet effects for Demonic Toys.
Oh, that's crazy. That's awesome.
I was watching I had that Crystal Lake Memoirs DVD. I was watching that, and they got to Part 7, and I saw him, like, you know, that guy looks familiar. And I remember, I watched a lot of the Video Zones on the Full Moon movies when I was growing up. That was, like, one of my big inspirations for filmmaking was that. I remember seeing that guy in the Demonic Toys one. He's got the brow, and he mentions his brow during the, you know, it's like, I always like to design my characters with the brow, because, you know, it looks menacing or whatever he said. Yeah, it's the same dude. You should check it out. It's kind of funny. Once I realized that, I'm like, oh, that's cool, you know, that makes me like the movie a bit more. Because the movie, you know, I like horror movies when they get crazy like that. Like, basically, it was Jason Voorhees versus Carrie. And that was kind of cool. Sure, yeah, if you like this podcast, make sure to follow us on our Facebook and Twitter. And keep tabs on when we release the next one. And make sure you keep, you know, updating the SoundCloud. If you have any questions for the podcast, please send them to info@octobergames.com. And we'll be sure to check them out and answer your question in the next podcast. Also, if you're unfamiliar with Horror Legends, our Steam Greenlight campaign, please be sure to go to our look up Horror Legends: Pumpkin's Revenge on Steam Greenlight and vote yes for our game. We really appreciate that. And also, if you're new to this and you haven't seen our Puppet Master interactive trailer, you should download that and give it a try and. Let us know what you think.
Until next time.
Yeah, it's been good talking to you guys.